This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Farm Credit Illinois.
Next time you're looking for a good deal on farm equipment, be sure to get a good deal on the financing too. You can by asking for Ag Direct financing at your ag equipment dealer. Along with attractive financing rates, Ag Direct offers farm-friendly financing terms, including financing from 2 to 7 years and delayed payments for up to a year. Ag Direct also features easy applications, fast credit decisions, and is offered by Farm Credit Illinois, people who understand agriculture. See for yourself. When you want to buy, lease, or refinance farm equipment, ask your dealer for Ag Direct financing. Subject to approval, restrictions may apply. Get a good deal on farm equipment financing with Ag Direct, available at your ag equipment dealer. Check our attractive interest rates at agdirect.com. Ask your dealer for simple, fast, and flexible financing. Ask for Ag Direct.
Now with part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Thursday morning, we join WSMI Farm Director Angela Besch.
Thank you. Here are Wednesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. September corn, 338 and three quarters, up 2.5. December corn, 345 and three quarters, up 1.5. March corn, 358.5, up 1.25. September soybeans, 1071, down 5.5. November soybeans, 993 and three quarters, up 1. January soybeans, 10.25, up 1. September wheat, 518 and three quarters, down 8.75. December wheat, 519 and three quarters, down 7.75. March wheat, 536, down 8. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday's grain market report. Illinois country grain prices ended mixed on Wednesday afternoon. Technical trading at the Board of Trade kept corn and soybeans in the positive, but pushed wheat lower at the Board of Trade as the traders prepared for tomorrow's USDA report. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 2 cents at 314 to 346. Soybean bids were mostly 4 cents higher at 988 to 1170. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 1 to 3 lower at 320 to 341, while soybean bids were mostly 1 to 5 higher at 962 to 1213. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids ended mixed at 312 to 349. Soybean bids were up a penny at 969 to 1114, and the wheat bids ended 4 to 8 cents lower at 382 to 455. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids ended mixed, ranging from 1069 to 1244. Basis ended steady to 25 cents weaker, ranging from 75 up to 250 over November. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of 582.80 to 612.80. That's down $10.90 a ton, with basis steady range from 140 to 170 over September. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids up 2 cents at 341 to 356, with basis steady ranging from 5 under to 10 over December. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids mixed at 321 to 361. Basis ended steady to 3 cents weaker, ranging from 25 under to 15 over December. Soybeans ended mixed on Wednesday, ranging from 1019 to 1143, with basis steady to 2 cents lower at 25 to 150 over November. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 1 to 4 higher at 348 to 351. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by a penny, with quotations at 1039 to 1094. Soft red winter wheat mostly 8 cents lower at 424 to 452, while the Milo ended 2 cents higher at 326 to 336. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 290 up to 315. New crop soybean bids at 954 up to 969. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 309 to 327. New crop soybean bids at 961 to 978. In the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from 310 up to 322, with the new crop soybean bids ranging from 959 to 982. That completes our country grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. October live cattle, 159.70, up 2 cents. December live cattle, 162.10, down 17 cents. February live cattle, 161.40, up 55 cents. September feeder cattle, 228.85, up 22 cents. October feeder cattle, 227.12, down 62 cents. November feeder cattle, 225.47, down 77 cents. October lean hogs, 107.10, up $1.32. December lean hogs, 98.65, up 40 cents. February lean hogs, 93.50, down 30 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday the 10th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.52 higher in the range of $90 to $103.75, with a weighted average carcass price of $100.56. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading $2 to $3 lower, with moderate demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds were 50 to 57, 4 to 5 weights 54 to 59, 5 to 6 weights 56 to 61, and 600 pounds and up 57 to 62. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady to a dollar higher, with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $67 up to $70. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 14,888 head. And now the report from the Fairview Sale Barn for Tuesday, September the 10th. They had receipts of 388 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 156 to 163.25, select and choice 150 to 157. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 141 to 146.75, and choice slaughter heifers, 158 to 163. Select and choice heifers, 155 to 156. Now on to the slaughter cows. Premium cows were average dressing, 112. Breakers, 120 to 125. Boners, 116 to 120. Now from the United Producers Livestock Auction at Shelbyville, they had receipts of 706 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 159 to 166.75, select and choice 152 to 159. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 145 to 155.50, and select and choice Holstein steers, 138 to 145. Choice slaughter heifers, 159.50 to 166.50. And now on to the slaughter cows. They had some premiums, bring 133 to 139.50, boners 114 to 124, and leans 95 to 117. Now in the direct from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 481 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 106.15, and that was 87 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses, 251.46, that was 38 cents higher. Select carcasses, 238.18, and that was 50 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 114,000, that compared to 118,000 last week and 123,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 413,000, that compared to 416,000 last week and 408,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. September corn delivered to Greenfield and Scottville, $3.43. September beans delivered to Greenfield, $10.50. September beans delivered to Scottville, $10.39. September wheat delivered to Scottville, $4.16. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield and Scottville is $3.43. Beans at Greenfield are $10.50. Beans at Scottville are $10.39. And wheat at Scottville is $4.16. That's all for part one of this morning's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Farm Credit Illinois. 6:19 on this Thursday morning. At this time, color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area, but there may be some light rain or drizzle around mid-Illinois undetectable on radar at this time. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs, and by Carlinville Truck Equipment.
Carlinville Truck Equipment makes industrial rollback equipment loaders, and because of this, they have the equipment and expertise to fix or fabricate just about anything metal around your business or farm. If you need truck or trailer repair, hoist or winch service, custom fabrication, or stock metal, call Carlinville Truck Equipment at 217-854-6706 or log on to ctemi.com. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 217-854-6706.
Every producer knows that during harvest, time is money. To better serve our producer customers, M&M Service Company is upgrading several of our strategically located grain elevators to facilitate faster truck unloading. We have multiple locations, giving you the flexibility to haul to the closest M&M Service location. Call M&M Service Company at 217-854-2099 or toll-free at 855-769-5117 or visit our website at mmservice.com for all your grain marketing needs.
Our local weather forecast for today becoming partly cloudy and cooler. High temperatures today in the mid-60s with light north winds. Tonight, mostly clear, low temperatures in the low 50s. And for tomorrow, Friday, becoming partly cloudy, high temperatures in the mid-60s. Your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday, partly cloudy, a slight chance of showers on Monday. Low temperatures in the low 50s, highs in the low 70s. Right now at the Weather Center, we have north winds at 7 miles per hour. The barometric pressure is rising. Cloudy skies, 58 degrees. Rain totals around the area over the past 24 hours. WSMI weather watcher Robin Schroeder of Jerseyville, 1 3/10 of rain. 1 6/10 recorded by Kyle Schmedeke of Irving. 1 2/10 recorded by Rich Henry of Staunton. 2 inches here at the Weather Center over the past 24 hours. Once again, cloudy skies, 58 degrees. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. And by the CHS Service Center of Louder. We'll rejoin WSMI Farm Director Angela Besch next.
When America's farmers work together, they're part of something bigger. That's especially true when you work with your CHS Service Center, which shares its profits with producers like these.
Working with a strong farmer-built company helps me make a profit and build equity.
A cooperative and a farming operation working together will spell success.
They're here to assist us so that we can have a profitable farm.
CHS Service Center in Louder, 217-435-9023.
Seavers JCB sells a complete line of construction equipment. Seavers JCB, a division of Seavers Equipment Company, sells the full line of JCB construction equipment. JCB is the third largest maker of construction equipment in the world. Backhoes, track hoes, telehandlers, wheel loaders, forklifts, compaction equipment, and the new generation side entry skid steers, the world's safest skid steer. JCB also offers ag equipment. Contact Seavers JCB in Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, or Auburn, or go to SeaversJCB.com. And in Missouri, go to JCB of St. Louis at JCB of ST.
For a look at the livestock markets this week, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
Well, livestock markets, this is a time for the beef trade in particular to try to reassess the fundamentals. This is about the third time we've gone through this cycle where the trade was just simply convinced that prices have got too high, that we were going to see high prices ration demand, and at the same time we were going to have an increase in supply. And there's some valid reasons for that expectation of an increase in supply. They were simply following the data from USDA's cattle on feed reports, and so they were expecting this increase in supply. Expecting it in July, it didn't happen, and so the prices had come back up. They're expecting it in August, it didn't happen. So they thought, well, we know it's going to happen September then. It didn't happen July and August, so it's going to happen September. And there were valid reasons why the trade thought that not only would the supply be bigger in September, but it'd be at heavier weights, which it's proved to be somewhat heavier weights, up about 1.6% from year-ago levels, the carcass weights. But also that it'd be more of a captive supply, that the packers had done a good job of pre-contracting their supplies so they wouldn't have to bid against each other for the supplies that they need and hold prices down. None of that proved to be true other than the higher carcass weights. As we got into September, the show lists have been smaller, not as big as expected, and even for the captive supply, and the demand for product has been robust. We're the highest demand for product of the year occurred in the last week of August, and a holiday shortened week, the first week of September, was almost as strong. So we're seeing strong demand, a smaller than expected supply. Will that continue in September? And that's what the trade's trying to figure out. But futures are rapidly trying to catch up with the cash market.
So a lot is weighing on this month, and we'll see how it turns out as the month progresses.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, as we look at the hog complex, it's somewhat similar, except we're looking at the other end. We have abundance of supplies right now, and that's been driving prices lower for quite some time in the last half of the summer. In fact, 7 weeks straight, almost nearly every day, that seven-week period, 34 consecutive days, we saw a lower cash index. And so we drove the market down, and at times the futures market was $20 below what the cash index was. Now we've turned that around in expectations of a bottom. The futures has traded up to $10 above the cash in expectations that we're going to have a big hole in supply as we get deeper into the fall starting later this month because of the PD virus impact earlier this year. And carcass weights have come down considerably too. So we've shrunk the supply up front as far as weights, carcass weights, and we're expecting a drop in supply numbers. If that drop in supply numbers happens, then we can justify this rebound in price. If it doesn't happen, kind of like what we didn't see happen in the cattle complex, then the market's got some adjusting to do, except in this case it might be back to the downside. So that's the real key right now, is going to see just whether the supply is there or is it not. The cattle side, they expected it to be there, and it wasn't. On the hog side, they're expecting it not to be there. Now we get to see if it will be.
And we get to see this play out as people are concerned that there will be lower hog supply with those who were already impacted by the PED virus. But we're also expecting to see a resurgence of the PED virus as the colder months come in.
No, that's exactly right. Now, we've had two vaccines receive conditional approval for use to fight this disease. Neither one is a silver bullet, but it's a tool to use to try to control the disease, yet the disease continues to be a problem. We know, though, that at any point there could be a breakthrough discovery and actually get a silver bullet type of a vaccine, and that would cause this market to collapse. So that's a risk producers need to live with. They need to continuously monitor this market, make sure they know what their costs are, and take a business approach to their marketing as far as when they lock in profits.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. Corn silage can make up to as much as 30 to 40% of a dairy cow's diet, so it really is important to get it right. That starts in the field. Farmers should harvest corn silage when it contains about 30 to 34% dry matter. This means the plant and grain are made up of about 70% water. There is a quick and easy method to determine this. Just break apart an ear of corn and look for the milk line, says University of Illinois animal scientist Phil Cardoso.
So by looking the grain, so you go out of the field, you get a cob, break it out, look at the cob, and you're going to see that milk line. If it is at 3/4, then you say, okay, it's ready.
This is an easy way to decide when to chop silage and allows a farmer to decide which parts of the field to chop and or to leave for later. There is a more accurate way to do this with a microwave and scale. Either way, the chop should be done at about 70% moisture. It is also important to set the chopper correctly, particularly the rollers.
So those rollers, the distance between the two rollers, it's going to be around 0.1 inches or 3 millimeters. So that is pretty much processing all the corn grain that is coming through those rollers. So that's why we say it's processing. So we want to damage the corn grain, because remember that you have the corn grain and around it there is the pericarp that is protecting the starch. If we don't damage the pericarp and expose the starch, whenever the cows are eating this inside the rumen, then the bugs or the bacteria will not have access to ferment that and give the volatile fatty acids to the cow, and that's what is nourishing the cow.
Making sure the grain is damaged or processed is a vital step in making good silage. That starts with setting the rollers to 0.1 inches, or about 3 millimeters.
Secondly, what we need to do is, what is the size of the particle and that you're going to have on that material, okay? If we have it too long, whenever it goes to the silo, it's harder to compact. So imagine that you have a lot of hay or straw and you're trying to make something really compact. You're going to have a lot of air inside, so it really doesn't compact, and that bothers fermentation. If you cut it too short, the particle size, that's going to be great for the silo and for fermentation. You're going to be able to compact that. However, cows are not going to be able to have that effective fiber that stimulates the rumen. So everything that is less than 3/4 of an inch doesn't stimulate the rumen of the cow. Like, for example, grain, corn grain or soybean meal, when we give to the cow, that doesn't make the rumen move. That's why cows, we need to give hay, we need to give haylage, corn silage. So we think that 3/4 of an inch, that's where you have your best size, that is going to still stimulate some rumination, and you're going to be able to compact that.
However, this 3/4 inch length means the plant must be harvested at the right moment, which returns us to the 70% moisture. So to sum up Cardoso's advice for corn silage, chop at about 70% moisture using very sharp knives to get the cut of 3/4 of an inch, and set the rollers to about 0.1 inches so 90% of the kernels are damaged. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.